And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of data staring at me right now because there's a lot of things going on in the financial markets. I touched on it a little bit yesterday. I'm going to go deeper today. You're probably wondering what's going on. You're looking at the stock market. You're seeing the stock market do what the stock market always does. The stock market does what the stock market chooses to do. It does. And you're thinking, how does an entity like the stock market, which really is numbers and things that people input, and I don't even know how that stock market works, to be honest with you. Now, I've actually talked to guys that have been on the floor of the stock market. I've actually had those guys on the show, and I still just don't understand it. I really just don't understand it. It just seems like old school bartering. You know, do you understand the stock market? Because I really don't. I really don't. I've actually studied the stock market. Yeah. At one point in my life, back in my 30s, I was reading some books that led me to the impression that one of the ways I could get myself out of to financial freedom, I get myself away from where I was, which was I was an Army officer. I think it was a captain back in the day, newly married, thinking about starting a family. We had made a decision that when we started the family, Tina wouldn't work. Yeah, that was one of our core priorities in our life. We wanted her to have full autonomy to raise our children and to take care of the household. You know, some people call that a homemaker. Some people say that's oppression. I don't think it's oppression. I think it was an informed decision that we made because at the end of the day, we wound up raising two outstanding Americans. And as a matter of fact, one of those Americans today, we're going to go to a ceremony. Okay, his name's Jonathan. And today is the last day he will be a private citizen of the state of Texas, a citizen of the United States, and effective tomorrow, he will go into a federalized status, meaning his Texas National Guard unit is being activated to go into harm's way. You heard me correctly. Now, I'm not going to give any details on it. I think I probably spilled too many beans yesterday about what's up with Jonathan. But here's what I want to say. Jonathan is a fourth generation American. As a matter of fact, of all the four generations of Gordons, on my father's side, obviously, every one of us served in the military. Every one of us went to combat. And now it's Jonathan's turn. Now, you might be thinking, aren't you a little, why are you doing radio today, bro? I mean, your son's getting ready to go to combat. Why are you doing radio? Okay, let me explain myself. The reason I'm doing radio is I can't affect anything that is going on in John's life. I can't change the fact that he is being activated for federal service and going into harm's way. I can't change that. Here's what I know, though. My son has got his act together. My son is a first lieutenant in the Texas National Guard. He is educated, he is knowledgeable, and he is highly experienced. As a matter of fact, one of the things that happened to the Gordon family because of John's desire to serve, it totally changed what we were planning to do for our next phase of investing. What does that mean? Okay, Jonathan, as well as I, as well as Tina, as well as my daughter Jesselyn, we're all members of Lifestyles Unlimited. Now, Jonathan and I, when we joined, we made a decision that we would go ahead and become members of the Preferred Investor Group because the type of investing that happens within that group is the type of investing that we wanted to participate in. We saw that as our action plan to move forward. And within this group, it's the reason we have the specialized group is because the federal government tells us we have to have a specialized group. It does. I mean, it would allow us to operate as a non-specialized group. However, it would be too expensive to do all of the investing that we do. So what we do is we take advantage of something called Regulation D within the SEC with regards to syndicating properties. And we comply with that. And to comply with that, you have to have a closed group. In other words, people cannot go into this group unless they meet certain criteria. The criteria for this group is you must become a sophisticated investor on your way to becoming an accredited investor. What does all that mean? Okay. Sophisticated means you're knowledgeable. You have received certain training, and there is certain training that is a part of this group that is in addition to what we provide you within our Financial Freedom Program. By the way, that Financial Freedom Program, 80% of our membership stays there and they get themselves retired. They decide that they don't need to invest the way Jonathan and I decided we needed to invest. See, they're in control of the decision. Within that group, however, because everybody is educated, everybody meets the standard of sophistication, it allows us to enter into business agreements with fellow members that syndicate offers to us to invest in their real estate assets. And because we're all educated, we're all able to understand what those offerings will do for us. And we pair those offerings with what we are trying to do with our investing strategy. If everything works, we consummate the deal. If it doesn't work, we say, thanks, that's not going to work for me. And we just keep moving on. It's not a problem. Now, everyone in that group is either accredited or they're working towards accreditation. What does that mean? Okay, that means that you meet certain financial tests. My son went to college. Now, he didn't necessarily want to go to college, but Tina and I encouraged him to go to college. Tina wanted him to go to college because she had never completed a degree herself, and she actually sees benefit in education. She actually went back to school herself and earned an associate's degree, and she excelled in all of her classes. She did. But she stopped her education there because she started to realize that they were trying in that education system to not just teach her material information that would help her understand how to think about things. It was more geared towards telling her what to think. Yeah, you heard me correctly. And that goes on in the education system. I don't care if you agree with me or you don't agree with me. I'm telling you, that's our observation. My motive, however, was a little bit different than my son's. Now, I knew back in the day that in order to do better in life, at least this is exactly what was taught to me, I had to go to college. And I did that. I went to college. Now, if you know my backstory, you know I had absolutely zero money. I was dirt poor when I went to college, and I went to a very expensive private school. The only way I could get my foot in the door was to basically agree with the United States Army that I would serve in the Army for a set period of time, and they would pay for my education, at least the tuition, books, and fees. Room and board, that was on me. Yeah, that was on me. So I either was working to pay for myself to go, you know, to live, or I take out, student loan debt, bad juju, bad stuff. Okay, so when it came time for my children to go to school, my son was ready to go to college. I was not a member of Lifestyles Unlimited at that time. I had never heard of Lifestyles Unlimited. So my motivation was to help my son do what I did. In other words, get into college, get good grades, and then when he came out of college, he would be set up, you know, to do kind of what I did, right? Get into the workforce, trade time for money, right? Okay, so that was the game plan. I'm just telling you what the game plan was. At the end of the day, John went to school. Now, I had something called a GI Bill. I actually had 4 years of college education available to me. That was part of what the military did for me with regards to me serving. But I already had two degrees. Yeah, I had two degrees. And I wasn't interested in going back to school. I wasn't interested in going back and getting another master's degree. I wasn't interested in going to school and earning a PhD. I wasn't interested in any of that stuff. As a matter of fact, I couldn't do any of that stuff because when the Army retired me, I was hemorrhaging money. Again, if you know my backstory, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I wanted something different for my son. But I also knew that college had to be a part of it. So we encouraged him to go to school. And he did. And he started his college education using my GI Bill. What I was able to do was cut my GI Bill in half, give half of it to my daughter, half of it to my son. So my son had 2 years of school ready to go. We used the GI Bill to pay for his freshman and sophomore years. And the idea was he would bank money because they would pay him a housing allowance. They would. That's all part of the GI Bill. We told Jonathan, live at home, commute to school, save the money. Save the money. Because here was the idea. There was enough money coming in from the housing allowance. As long as we banked that money, we could use that money to pay for his junior year. And I think almost all of his senior year. Or maybe all of it. And there may have been enough money to pay for all of it. I mean, that was the game plan. You tracking? All right. So John's in college. It's 2017. I think he's a sophomore at the time. He and I, we go to Lifestyles Unlimited. It's actually a very, very cool organization that's going to change your life. Totally change your life. So we go in. We listen to what's called the free workshop. The free workshop is designed to give you essentially the roadmap, the entry-level information that you need to decide whether or not this is a course of action you choose to pursue or this is something you want no part of. Yeah, we want you to make that decision. And if you don't want any part of it, we don't want you joining the organization. That's not what we're about. We're not about selling memberships. We're about teaching you how to radically change your life, using real estate as the catalyst. So John and I, we sign up, we become members of Lifestyles Unlimited, and we decide that we're going to focus on joining the preferred investor group because we want to be able to syndicate real estate deals to other members, and we want the ability to buy into syndicated deals that are made available to us. Of course, we're doing everything in accordance with how the SEC, the government, lays everything out. Okay, let me take you back to October 2021. We had essentially sold all of our multifamily investments at that point. Yeah, everything that we had invested in matured, and we sold it all. And now we've got this big, giant pile of money to invest. That was the game plan. We also made a decision to start selling off our single family assets. We were selling them off into the increase in prices because that's the way you sell stuff. You don't try and top the market. You don't try and time the topping of the market. If the market is healthy and it makes sense for you to sell, if you met your investing goals, which we did for those assets, we decided it was time to eliminate those assets. Sell the assets, take the money, add it to the big pile of money that we had. Okay, let me lay it out for you. We had about $500,000 in that little piggy bank. $500,000 in the piggy bank. And I specifically sat down with not one, not two, but I talked to three multifamily mentors about my game plan. And the reason I went to three different mentors and presented my business plan to them was because I knew I would get great information back from each of those three people. Because those three guys, they're all multimillionaires. They all fully understand how to invest correctly into multifamily. They're also syndicators of multifamily deals. And one of the guys, he's actually what we call an IRO. What's an IRO? In other words, he doesn't syndicate anything. What he buys, it's all his. He doesn't bring any investors in. Okay, so what I was looking for was for people to destroy my plan.
That's what a mentor is there for. It's kind of like a murder board, right? So I'm laying out this plan. Wow. Did I get some feedback? Holy smokes. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what these guys told me. Stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
The rich get richer and the poor get poorer, not because that's the way it's set up, but because of the knowledge.
When put into action, knowledge is power. At Lifestyles Unlimited, we empower you to live the lifestyle of your dreams through passive real estate income. For over 30 years, our successful members share their knowledge through case studies, classes, and mentoring. Tap into the knowledge. Attend a free workshop online. Register now at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
You're probably wondering, first of all, why did I go to three different mentors with my business plan? And here's why. I was looking for them to do something that I call a murder board. Do you know what a murder board is? Okay, if you've never heard of the concept, let me explain it to you. In the military, we used to do this all the time. So if you're getting ready to brief the general, okay, you want to make sure all your ducks are in a row. Because when you go to brief that general, first of all, that general has a better understanding of everything than you do. That's why that person's the general. Yeah, trust me. The other thing is you are briefing a command product that that general is going to make a decision on. And when that decision is made, all bets are off. You're going forward with whatever that general decides. Okay. So before you go argue your point to that general, what you do is you get your peers together and then you present to your peers. And you have your peers tell you all the bad information that you don't want to hear because you need to hear it. Because if they say, hey man, you said this, but the enemy's there, it doesn't line up, you know, okay, that's a huge tactical flaw, right? You don't want to go in front of the general and present a tactical flaw. That's dumb. That's why we do these murder boards, so that you get feedback from your peers, so that you refine your product, so that when you go stand in front of that general goes, hey, Al, I'm glad you're on the team, instead of like giving you a butt chewing. Yeah, because generals can do a pretty good job of that. All right, so I went to three different mentors. Now, I'll be honest with you. You don't need to go to three different mentors, but I chose three different mentors to present my business plan because I understood exactly where they were in their trajectory of investment. What does that mean? Okay. One of the guys, he's actually a former mentor. Yeah, he's a former, he was a mentor when I joined, and then he decided that it's time for him to just live the lifestyle. He is giving back as much as he can, and that's fine. So I went to Kim and I said, hey, here's my business plan. I got $500,000. We're thinking about buying one asset, maybe 100 doors, putting $200,000 into it, then buying a second asset, maybe 100, maybe 120 doors, putting maybe $200,000 into that one, or 150. It just depends. And then we'll do the third asset. And with the remaining funds that we have, that should be 100 plus doors. And here's the game plan. John was going to be what we call the lead investor. He's going to be the syndicator. He's the one. He's the tip of the spear, if you will. He's the decision maker. I was going to be his operations guy. Essentially, I was going to put together the management company, and I was going to operate all of these properties. John would be the decision maker. I will be the operator. Together, we will be a team, and we will syndicate these deals to other Lifestyles Unlimited members. And in doing so, we will raise millions and millions and millions of dollars so that we can go out and buy distressed assets, turn those assets around, and make a lot of money, not only for ourselves, but for those wonderful members that saw our potential and invested with us. That was the game plan. It was a 3-year game plan. What does that mean? Okay. So in the first year, we were going to take down that very first asset, and we were planning to look for the nastiest of the nastiest. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, we were willing to go by 1960s housing stock. Yeah, that's how ugly we were looking at the assets. You have no idea what I'm talking about, right? Okay, 1960s build. We're in what, 2022? Okay. Construction techniques 60 years ago are different than construction techniques today. As a matter of fact, some of the things that they used back in the 1960s didn't hold up very well. Yeah, I mean, it was great. It was great tech in the 1960s, per se. But in 2020, 2022, wherever we are, it didn't hold up. Do you know that real estate assets actually wear out? Kind of like cars? Yeah, over time, they wear out. If you don't maintain them, they wear out. There are, believe it or not, there are people out there that own multifamily assets that all they're interested in doing is stripping whatever money they can out of the asset. They don't care about the asset. They'll just let that asset decline. They won't put any money back into that asset. And then after they've stripped all the money out of that asset and that property's gone into decline and they can't get any more money out of it, they'll get rid of the asset and they'll sell it at a distressed price. They don't care. Because essentially what they're doing is they're trying to lose money on the deal. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a technique. That's not a technique we follow. To me, that's not a good technique. It's not, because it abuses the property and it abuses the people that rent units from you. Yeah, I don't abuse people. There's enough of that in the world. I don't think I need to do it. What I'd rather do is go get that asset, clean it up, put it back into service as clean, functional workforce housing for a demographic segment of our society that demands it. As a matter of fact, they will pay fairer market rents because they want to live in a nice place, not a dump like the place used to be. Okay, so that's the business plan. The game plan was we take down asset number one. We would start working on building that asset back up. We were planning to give ourselves a full year to do this because we were looking for a dirty dog. I mean, a really dirty dog without a leg. That's the kind of property we're looking for. Okay. And we felt we could turn 10 units a month and we could get the asset up and running. Okay. That was the initial game plan. Once we stabilize that property, in other words, once we get that property to a place where it is cash flowing, in other words, it's starting to pay us and it's starting to pay our investors distributions of money. This is why we invest in real estate and not in the stock market. Stock market is not paying you the same way real estate pays you. Trust me on this. Okay. So once it's stabilized, we would take down asset number two. Again, another maybe 100, 120 unit property. We're looking for big assets. We would be looking for another nasty, dirty property that nobody wants. Yeah, that's what we would look for. And then once we got that property up and running and stabilized, we would go for property number three. And we do the same thing. Our game plan was a three-year game plan. Okay, so I took this game plan to Kim. And Kim told me, now I told you, Kim's not a mentor anymore, but he didn't lose any of that information that he has. And he's a friend of mine. I developed a friendship with him. And I said, hey, Kim, and I trust me, the presentation that I made was about 30 seconds. Yeah, you're thinking I'm like sitting down in a boardroom with Kim on one side of the table and me on the other side. I got a PowerPoint presentation and all this stuff, right? That's what you're thinking I'm doing, right? No, not at all. No. So I said, I saw Kim at a Lifestyles Unlimited event. And I said, Kim, can I ask you a question? He's like, sure. I said, it's kind of a mentor question. I know you stepped away from mentoring, but would you answer the question anyway? And he goes, of course I will. I said, okay, here's the plan. And I told him the plan that I just told you. You know what he told me? That's a good plan. That was my feedback. That's a good plan. That's what I needed. I was looking for him to say that won't work here. That won't work there. Maybe I'd adjust this, do that, blah, blah, blah. He said, good plan. I was like, wow, Kim, the guy. So then I went to Doug. Now, Doug's the guy. He's the IRO guy. Okay. Now, Doug has syndicated properties in the past, but what Doug did is he used the syndicated properties to build his wealth up so that he could transition into becoming an independent rental operator. In other words, own the asset completely himself. So just to recap, I presented my business plan a lot more effectively to my mentors than I did to you on the radio, because I had to slow it down a little bit. I'm not saying you don't understand. That's not where I'm going. Please don't take offense to that statement. The point is this: when I'm talking to one of my mentors, they know way more about what I am planning to do than I know myself, because they have something called experience. You heard me correctly. They have something called experience. I have never syndicated a multifamily deal in my life. I know how to do it. I have been educated on how to do it properly. I know everything I'm supposed to do. The thing that's lacking is the actual time on target. Yeah. So I went to these mentors specifically because I knew each one of these guys would give me feedback that I desired. And what I was looking for was negative feedback. I really was. I was looking for negative feedback. So Kim told me, "That's a good plan." I'm like, "Okay, no negative feedback?" He's like, "No, man, it's a good plan. I think you'll make that happen." I'm like, "All right." So then I went to Doug and I said, "Hey, Doug, here's the plan." You know what he told me? "It's a good plan. It's a good plan." I'm like, "No negative feedback?" He's like, "No, man, it's a good plan. Execute." I was like, "Okay." So then I went to go find Robert. Now, all three of these guys were at a Lifestyles Unlimited event. We were at a case study. It was a Thursday night. We were in the San Antonio office. So all three of these guys were there. That's why it was so easy for me to just walk up to him and say, "Hey, you got a minute?" Okay, so check this out. So I go up to Robert and I said, "Robert, I want to brief you on my plan." And you know what Robert told me? He says, "It's a good plan." I said, "Robert, I haven't even told you the plan yet." He says, "I already talked to Doug. I already talked to Kim. And they told me that you'd probably be coming over here because you're looking for feedback." And I said, "Well, that's exactly what I'm looking for." He said, "Al, when Kim told you it was a good plan, you had all the information you needed. Why did you go talk to Doug?" I said, "Well, I was concerned that maybe Kim missed something that maybe Doug would pick up on, because they have different investment modalities. So Kim he owns a lot of syndicated deals and he owns some IRO properties. Doug is he's done syndication, but he's gone pure IRO because that makes sense for him. So I thought that those two guys, because they had a slightly different perspective, maybe I'd get something different out of these guys." And they speak with one voice. They do. They speak with one voice. And that's what Robert was telling me. Robert was telling me, "You got a good plan, dude. Why are you so wrapped around the axle?" And I said, "Well, I guess I'm going into analysis paralysis." And they said, "It's a good plan." And I said, "Okay, great." So now I've got the feedback that I need. I'm sitting down with Jonathan. We're putting the finishing touches on our business plan, and we're getting ready to go to something called Expo. Now, Expo is an annual event that Lifestyles Unlimited provides. It is the one place where we as members get together from across the nation. We go to one specific place to hang out with each other, to network with each other, to learn things from each other, to get information. I mean, everything that Lifestyles Unlimited does for us comes together in one singular place at Expo. It's an amazing event. It's amazing. So our plan was, we're going to present at Expo that Jonathan and I, we're going to be aspiring leads. In other words, we're coming up the ladder and we're going to be looking for that first deal. So now our responsibility is to start networking with other members so that we can start creating business relationships in accordance with how the government tells us we're allowed to do that. Okay, so everything's laid out. And what happened in October? Well, the federal government stopped everything on the border. They stopped everything on the border. They had actually stopped that prior to October. They did. It's just, I'm just telling you a fact. Whether you agree with it, whether you disagree with it, I'm telling you a fact. The governor of the state of Texas, Greg Abbott, made a decision to mobilize the Texas National Guard. So any Texas National Guardsman who is not already on some type of federal order somewhere, okay, I don't get into the details. Any Texas National Guardsman that wasn't federalized belongs to the governor. And any one of them that was available and ready for activation were activated. They're all activated under something called state active duty, which is the governor's ability to mobilize his military forces. Yeah, you didn't know the National Guard actually works for the governor. Yeah, they have a federal mission too, and a lot of the money to support the Guard comes from the federal side. But unless a National Guard unit or soldier is federalized, they work for the governor of the state that they are assigned to. That's kind of cool how that works. So what did Greg Abbott do? Well, he activated the entire National Guard. That's Army assets. That's air assets. There are no Marine assets. There are no Navy assets, although former Navy and Marines do come to the National Guard and join. So we got all the services technically represented. We just don't have, you know, big aircraft carriers. Okay, let's get back to the storyline. When John was activated, that destroyed the plan because the initial activation was a two-year activation. So there was no way John was going to be able to serve down on the border, which is where he wound up, and be a lead investor, especially the way we were planning to invest, because we were going to do some deep value stuff. I needed my son to be available at the asset while we're going through this, as well as my available time too, which I have a lot of available time. So that wrecked the plan. However, we had a backup plan. We did. We always have a contingency plan. So we knew John was out of the fight for 2 years. What we didn't know was that John would be reassigned to another unit within the Texas National Guard that was being federalized. And that brings us to today. So today, my son, it's the last day he's going to be a Texas citizen, if you will, just working for the governor of the state of Texas. Effective tomorrow, he will be on federal orders and he's going to go into harm's way and he's going to do some great things for this country. Whether you agree with what he's doing, whether you disagree with what he's doing, it doesn't change the fact that he is going into harm's way. So if you pray, if you have a relationship with God, if you would pray that my son, as well as all the members of the Texas National Guard that are being activated, that they all come home safely and they come home with all the body parts that they left with. I know that sounds kind of rough, but I'm an Army guy and I've seen stuff, and that's my prayer. I want them to come back completely whole. So that's what I'm asking of you. So what does it mean, the contingency plan? All right, so what we decided to do was we just stepped across the aisle. We did. We had all this money, but we're not going to deploy it because I don't want to be the lead investor. I don't. That's not how we've got everything lined up. John's out of the fight for at least another year, okay? And it's been, what time is it? I don't know, 9 months, 8 months since all this stuff started. So what do? We stepped across the aisle. Instead of being lead investors, we went back to our passive investor side, and we started investing into deep value assets that were made available to us because those assets marry up with our business plan. The difference is we're not going to be owning and operating them per se, but we will have ownership in the asset while somebody else operates it. It's a beautiful thing. And we're going to get great returns. Here's our intent. We intend to double that money in about 3 years. You heard me correctly. This will give John enough time to meet his military service obligation. And once he meets his military service obligation, which he's got about 2 more years on, he'll be able to make a decision as to whether he stays in the National Guard or he elects to become Joe's citizen. It's going to be a big decision point for him, because the problem we have with military service in today's day and era is that everybody wants to use the reserves and the National Guard. We have worn them out since 2001, and we are continuing to wear them out. But because they are soldiers and airmen, they step up to the plate and they swing for the fences and they always give us 100%. So I'm not worried about my future, and I'm not worried about your future either, because my son is going to go do some things that are going to protect our way of life so that we can continue to live in this country and prosper in this country and invest in this country. And when I say invest in this country, I'm talking about you learning how to invest correctly in real estate assets, and not just taking the money and just pushing it across the table to your financial planner and hoping that they make magic happen for you. I'm talking about you actually understanding the assets that you're invested in. I understand every asset that my money is deployed to. I measure the progress on how that asset is doing. I measure the progress because the lead investors that I'm invested with provide me all the financial information, which I get to pore over, and I get to determine whether or not the asset is on track. If the asset is on track, everything is good. No issues. If the asset is a little bit off track, not a problem. I'll just pick up the phone. I'll call the lead investor and go, hey, man, I noticed we're down 2% in this area. What's going on there? And what I'm looking for is that lead investor to give me specific feedback, and he should know it off the top, or she. I'm actually invested with women, too. It doesn't matter. I don't care what your sex is. What I care is whether or not you perform. That's what I care about. So if you're not performing, we're just going to have a conversation about how do we get back on track. And it's not a difficult conversation. It's not a painful conversation. As a matter of fact, the lead investor is already aware that one of their metrics is off. And if they're doing what they're supposed to do, and they do, they're already addressing it. So by the time I find out that it's already off track, chances are it's already been remedied. Yeah, it's already been remedied. Oh, I love this. Okay, look, at the end of the day, I want you to become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited because I want to help you understand that you can retire in the next 5 years. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and get signed up.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.